Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Chaplain John Durden today. Good evening, shalom. On the Sabbath day, hey, 6:30, Sabbath is now over in 1 minute. Chaplain John Durden will be bringing some teachings on demonology. But first, we got to praise God when we win by Kirk Franklin.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Just wait.
All right, that was for our American audience. For our Jamaican audience, Wagwan, Wagwan, Wagwan.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding
It's now 2 o'clock right here on Gospel JAFM. This is Gospel JAFM 91.7 and 91.9 on your FM dial, 920 on the Flow Network, 791 on Digicel Play, and www.gospelja.com for those who listen across the world. Gospel JAFM is owned and operated by KC Broadcasting Company Limited, with offices located at Unit 5, Tri-7 Business Center, 7 Ivy Green Crescent, Kingston 5, Jamaica. Gospel JAFM. Tune in today.
All right. Tune in to Gospel JL. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful radio station. I live in Kingston, Jamaica, and in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, come to Jamaica, one of the most beautiful islands in the Caribbean. This is a small island, but has impacted the world worldwide with its reggae, with its customs, its culture, its music, its living. I love this country. I love Jamaica. And I have a heavy, deep, deep love for this. And I remember when Pastor Wayne C. Thompson in 1986 came up to me when I was with my former pastor, and still in my pastor, my heart. I don't hold grudges just because when people grow in the Lord, you grow differently in different times. But he introduced me to the ministry of deliverance, and Pastor John, Wayne Thompson had a church in Berean Christian Children's Home, and I would fly there when I was in the airline industry and send food. That's how I fell in love with Jamaica. And Sunday morning, I woke up, I saw all these Jamaicans walking up in the hill. I was in Duncan's Trelawney, and I said, where are they going? I said, they're going to church. I said, Lord have mercy, these people walking. Don't even have no car, and they're going to church. And Americans, y'all going, well, we'll leave that alone. Let me give this mic to Chaplain John Durden. Durden!
Yeah.
You got the mic. Well, 1 hour and 52 minutes, Chaplain John Durden, because I'll start preaching. Chaplain John Durden, 1 hour and 52 minutes, Chaplain John Durden. You got the mic.
Okay, 1 hour and 52 minutes. What time is it right now, brother?
6:38.
Okay, 6:38. Okay, 7:38. 8 o'clock.
All right. You got the mic. 1 hour and 51 minutes,
yeah.
Without further ado, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. This is Brother John, Brother John. Many of you wanted to have some sharing on demonology, how the devil works, how his demons work, and how we can protect ourselves and what rights we have and so forth. Before I go into that, let me go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. I pray that the Holy Spirit empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. May our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. I pray that the Spirit of truth move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I pray that your words bring salvation, Father God, but also bring healing and deliverance to all here in your presence today or this evening. And it's in the name of your divine Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And before I get into the session, I want to say a few scriptures about demonology. Okay, we come first at Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15, 16, and 18. Mark, the 16th chapter. Okay. And it reads as follows. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has baptized and who believes shall be saved, but he who is disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. I'm read it again. These signs, not we have these written words, but it says these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, his Father. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. In the next verse, comes from, let's see, John, the 14th chapter. It says this, verses 15 and 16 and 17, it says this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever. That is in the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. And the Holy Spirit's job is to help us in ministering with the deliverance ministry. He tells us what to do. When we are facing demons, we don't get in their face and talk about, let me see what I'm going to do. Let me see what I'm going to say. Let's see. No, 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 no. All your actions and all your commands should come directly from the leading of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. That's what it should be. Now let's go to Ephesians 5:6. Ephesians. Is this. I'd rather go to 6, chapter 6, verses 10. Ephesians 6, verses 10 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. In other words, he says, these are the things you're going to need to fight demonic warfare. We're not talking about fighting the Japanese or Russians and so forth with your little guns, because those guns and those bombs and those rifles and those grenades don't have anything, can't have any harm on demons. They are spiritual beings. They are spiritual beings. Well, you know the verbiage. It says, for our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood. That's me, not human beings, but against spiritual beings. But against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness. And that's those heavyweight ministers, demons. Okay. And the last one I want to share comes from, Revelation. Revelation 20, verses 10 and 15. It says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. And verse 15 says this. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then one more last one he gave me came from Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, 6, 7, and 8. And it reads as follows. He says, but for the coward. Now, mostly when I teach share the word on demonology, I've never added this scripture. But for some reason, he wanted me to highlight this, I guess because he knows who's listening and who isn't. And maybe it wasn't needed the last time, but he wanted me to emphasize this one. He says, chapter 21, verse 8, he says, but for the cowardly, man, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a Christian. You know, they make fun of me. I'm just going to be cool. You know, they can do what they want to do. Because I don't want them to call me a religious fanatic and this kind of thing. I'll lose the group I'm in. They wouldn't have anything to do with me no more. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving, I don't believe Jesus at all that. And I got guys I know who read the cussing out of the Chinese because they believe Jesus is just a white man. And tell me, I'm not going to worship no white man, nigger. You know, that's what they say to me. You know, but I know they don't know the Lord, and I know their background. Okay? but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all this, all lies. Let me back up, and I got to remember myself, say, slow down, Brother John, so everybody can hear what you're saying and understand what you're saying, because I got a bad habit of getting excited. I go, yeah. So, y'all keep praying for me. I'm going to slow down on purpose today. Okay. So, chapter 21, verse 8 says this. Cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever and forever. And then verse 13 says, and those whose names were not written in the Lamb book of life will be cast into hell. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. For those who don't know me, I'll give you a quick 1 minute rundown on my background. First of all, I have 3 master's degrees. The first one I got was in human resources. Human resources is the modern day slogan for saying personnel administration. In my day, it was called personnel administration. As a result of my master's in human resources, I recruited federal employees for 30 years. 30 long years. So I did recruited people, position ranging from $7,000 to $100,000 a year. Did that for 30 years. And when I retired, the Lord caught me off guard and called me to the ministry. I was a deacon, you know, for many years, like 12 years, and I was happy doing that. And so when the Lord called me to the ministry, I had to set up a little argument there for a minute. I go, why do you want me to do that? I'm a deacon. Aren't you happy? You know, I'm arguing with the Lord, right? And the Lord just listened to me diligently. And I said, don't you know if I become a pastor, I'm going to have to go to church every Sunday. I want to go to church every Sunday. I'm arguing with the Lord, right? So he shut me up, and I said, forgive me, Lord. I repent in the name of Jesus. But I've completed my 3 years, and then the Lord put me, I thought I was going to be a pastor, but what he did was gave me a ministry as a chaplain, and I serve as a chaplain, and not as assistant chaplain. When he led me to that job, they hired me as the senior chaplain. Could you believe that? All right. So I was the senior chaplain for, 20 long years. And you know what a chaplain does? He does with the sick. He works with the sick and all the humanes and all the cripples, all the deaf, all the diseases and everything else. It was something else. But I guess he knew what he was doing because I wasn't disturbed by it. I went in there and did what I had to do and come on out. And some people said, John, how could you handle all that? You know, those people got these kinds of diseases and this and that. I said, man, please. Later. So I did that for 20 years, and it was enjoyable to me, and I loved it because I'd be sitting in my office reading the Bible, and God would lead me to a room where somebody's about to die, and he wanted them to have salvation, and I would go to the right place each time he would lead me, and he would tell me what to say about the Holy Spirit, and that person would get saved. A lot of them were in their 70s and 80s, and they thought they were saved because they were church members. They thought they were saved because they were church members. And some of them saved because they thought they sang in the choir for 20 years. Some thought they were saved because they held positions, choir director and so forth, in the 20 years. And I said, no, you just did a good thing for the church. That's all, but that's not salvation. And it's on what? You know, kind of a thing. So I told them what it was. And we all know that salvation is 3 things. 1, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And believing that he shed his blood on Calvary for our sins, that he's our Savior. And we must receive him and repent, tell him we're sorry for all those sins that we committed. From the time we knew the difference between right and wrong up to that present time, we ask him to forgive us all those sins, known and unknown. Because sometimes even believers be sinning and don't even know they're sinning because we're not perfect in the Bible. We don't know that Bible 100%. We might know it 70, 80, 90%, not 100%. So to cover my fanny, what I do every night before I go to bed, I just say, Lord, would you please forgive me for every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly. Just in case I did something ignorant and didn't know it. But I'm pretty sure God wouldn't blast me for doing something I had no idea what I was doing. But I just cover my track. I say, forgive me for all the sins that I committed, known and unknown. And tonight, what I want to do is share a few things with you. And what I'm going to share is subject matters like about demons, the names of demons, their groupings, their attributes, how they act and stuff like that, how they operate and gain control of us. Let me say that again. how they operate and gain control of us, and how, well, signs that we need for deliverance, signs that we need deliverance. In other words, what you be saying, what you, who you group with, what are you doing, and you kind of let yourself know that, hey, I'm off track kind of thing. And then the last thing I want to do is share, give you guidelines for dealing with demons. I want to give you guidelines for dealing with demons. As we all are aware, many are in the, we are in real deliverance. I guess some of you, I told, was watching Brother Emmett, watching a church session, and they saw demons being cast up on top of the ceiling. The pastor, who was belligerent, it really wasn't for real, was cast up in the ceiling there, butt naked. His unknown vessel, that's a demon, stripped the pastor of all his clothes and everything else, and then he's hanging there. He's telling me, help me, somebody help me. And they saw broom handles, rods, and everything floating through the down out of the hallway coming in the chapel, and saw broom handles and all kinds of stuff floating in the air with nobody holding it, and went straight at that unsaved minister and beat him with the paddle thing and rammed it up his behind and everything else. And some of them called me, they talked to me and said, I didn't believe in demons and all that before. My God, Mr. John, you should have saw what I've seen, man. Wow, I've seen that unholy, unrighteous minister hollering and screaming up the top of the ceiling, seeing poles going up his butt, and he's beaten with belts and everything else by an unknown person. That's what you want to call him. But yeah, we see that about 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, you know, because there's a lot of folks. You got your bad and your good in every profession. You got bad and good police officers. You got some doctors don't know what they're doing. You got some experts. And you got some ministers who are godly men that I know of, and some who are not so godly. And God didn't call them. They call themselves. So if you got pastors who are in there ball jacking and doing all this other stuff, they call themselves. God didn't call them. God don't call no whoremonger to run his church kind of a thing. So, like I said, you got your good and your bad in every area. I'm talking about even janitors, school teachers, principals. You got the good and the bad and all. Okay. What else I'm going to say? Now, you got to remember, many times as believers, we can sense hindrances in our lives. In other words, something trying to keep us from doing what we plan in the faith, that keep us from living fully in the Spirit. Sometimes you think these things, well, I'm thinking these things. And, you know, I didn't plan to say this, but I think it's the Lord or the Holy Spirit, one of the two, want me to say this. And that was my weakness, is that I was hearing the Lord, but didn't know it was the Lord. I was hearing demons, didn't know it was demons. I was hearing, what else I want to say, this seemed all kind of unholy. Ideas of flesh, everything else. When you get to be born again, accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you got to remember that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're a vessel of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the Holy Spirit. But you got to remember that flesh still argues. Why you want to go and get saved? Mind, spirit, John spirit, why you want to get saved? I don't like being saved. I love what the flesh like to do, and I'm going to tempt you as long as I can, you know, kind of thing. Boy, but, you know, my problem was I was smoking. It took me almost, even after I got saved, it took about 3 years for God delivered me. And he told me why it took so long. You know why? Because I prayed, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to catch cancer. You know, my mama had cancer of the lungs, you know, and she died from that. And here I am smoking like an idiot. I don't want no cancer, but I couldn't stop. I'm stopping tonight. And the next thing I know, I threw away all my cigarettes, get up in the morning, and started buying some cigarettes. So, yeah, I got to realize, God says, everything you think, John, is not you. All your thoughts are not you. And that was hard for me to grasp because, you know, you sit there and you think, I'm going to visit so-and-so-and-so-and. Something in your mind goes, why don't you go see Sister so-and-so-and at the hospital? She's not feeling too well. Why don't you give this young man some money, the man sitting here on the corner? And you said to yourself, he's a number of alcoholic. I'm a guy that can throw away my money. So we got to realize that coming ahead, we have to learn to screen it, how to analyze it, because all our thoughts are not ours, really. The mind is the battlefield. What did I say? The mind is the battlefield where the devil uses it. He don't take outside in the bushes or take outside in the woods and say, I want you to do this and I want you to do that, okay? No, it doesn't work that way. You might just be laying in bed, mind your business. You might be watching TV. mind your own business, and all of a sudden these evil and unclean thoughts may come into your head, and before you know it, the thoughts get strong and strong and strong until you have to carry it out. Okay? So if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, remember that because you're thinking it, it's not you. And two-thirds of what you're thinking is coming from the Holy Spirit, and you thinking it's you, and it's not. Especially those thoughts that come to you, and you go, no way, Jose, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to say that to that lady. I'm not going to say that to that man. I'm not going to say that to the pastor. I'm not going to say that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And the reason being because it's something that needs to be corrected in that person's life, and you don't want to get on that person's BM side. And many times, I would say 80 out of 100 times, it's the Holy Spirit doing something. Because if you do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, that person get corrected or that person get saved, and all the time you thought the person was saved, and the person was not saved. Okay. So, screen, when you pray, ask the Lord each night, say, Lord, discern my thoughts. Is it really me telling me to do this or say this? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who is it? Who could it be? You know, kind of a thing. So you analyze it very, very carefully. So talk to the Lord. Again, I must repeat, just because you're thinking it, it is not you. It could be your flesh. It could be a demon. It could be the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. There are several areas I want to talk about, several areas in individual lives that will show signs that deliverance are needed. One, some have emotional problems. Some are mentally ill because of some problem with the body, but there's some signs as well that a person can be borrowed by demons. They have emotional problems. They have mental problems. They have speech problems. They have sexual problems. They have addictions to all kinds of stuff that, you know, they don't have no business being addicted to. And some got physical infirmities. And you got to realize that sometimes it's not that person themselves that causing that affliction on themselves, because that's could demonic problems. And what happened is I get sick all the time. So, man, I go to church and I do it every time I'm sick. I ask God to do something. And I don't believe in God no more. And they get turning back on God. Some people have serious unworldly problems, and they get mad at God and turn it back on the church because of these problems. I ask God to do this and do that and do that, and he ain't done that. I don't believe that's God, kind of a thing. Slow down, Brother John. Slow down. Okay, Brother John. So you have folks who got addiction problems. You got some people who have physical infirmities. When you look at mama and daddy, you say, well, why I got this problem? My mom, dad, they're always healthy. Uncle so-and-so, my brother, my sister. Well, sometimes being attacked by the devil, the devil wants you to turn your back on God. But don't do that. And that's what I want to share. We have actions taken prior to minister deliverance. Now, we got to do this, remember. Before you do it, you have to get and talk with the Lord about it and the Holy Spirit, primarily the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, I am going back home to heaven. I'm going to send someone just like me. He is the Holy Spirit, and he's another me. We are one in unison. We are one in belief. And so when you have a problem, you address it to the Holy Spirit, because I'm going back home, and he's coming back. And he will deal with you and help you through this life of yours. What we must do before we minister deliverance is we must begin to what? Worship and praise. And I know there's a lot of people who try to do deliverance from me and Brother Emmett's experience. They go, hey, come on down here. They go down in the attic, you know, kind of a thing, and say, now let me see what I'm going to say, y'all. We going to do this. And as always, let me see what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. And these kind of, it's not what I'm going to do and what I'm going to say. We need to be open up to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can tell us what to say. Because many times when you talk to that demon going to ignore you. Sometimes won't say anything for an hour. And sometimes you come back with smart remarks and you say, what's your name? And that demon might say, you figured out, sucker. You know, oh, yeah, there's some nasty beings. And so before you do, but be sure when you do exorcism, make sure you in sync with the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will walk you through that ministry, tell you what to do, what to say, what not to say, and definitely when not to get angry, because that demon know all kinds of tricks to get you teed off. You know, and say, hell, doesn't he walk out to praise kinds of things? So we must begin with worship and praise. We must recreate an environment of praise. We must conduct a brief interview. You got to find out whether that mental, that problem that person had may not be mental. It may be physical. It may not be physical, but it may be something else. There's all kinds of ailment that these demons can bring upon us. And we got to realize, we must figure out what is the specific problem with this individual. And like I said, you got all kinds. You got some who got spiritual sin. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe half the Bible, these kinds of things. Some have physical body sickness, and they can't understand why they have it. And it could be demonic, you see. Then some have mental problems. And you go, I don't understand. I know his mom and his daddy. They both sharp. Mom is a principal and the daddy is a senator. And he around there talking like a fool. Or she talking like a fool. What's your problem? It could be demonic interruptions. And some have emotional problems. So what we got to do? We have to determine the proper time to pray. We must bind the enemy. I bind you, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I know that may sound silly to some of us, but when you bind that person and you believe what you're saying and it's in faith, it will be done. It's like an invisible handcuff is thrown on that demon where he can't attack you or anything like that. You have to bind that demon, you see. And when I say bind, well, you know, it's like a rope, handcuffs, and the person can't run. Or the demon can't run, kind of thing. And you have to sit there and listen to what you say. Then you must expel the demon. Come out, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But you got to, before you do it, you ask the Holy Spirit to direct you in the steps in exercising that demon out of that person. And you must forbid the demon to enter that person, because the Bible says some come back seven times the worse they were before. So when you cast that demon out, you say, I forbid you to come back in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not come back and inhabit this individual body. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. And another thing, do not spend time. Sometimes those demons love to talk. And the reason they do that is because they don't want to be cast out. So they say, who are you? What you do? What give you the authority to call yourself going to cast me out? You'd be surprised. Some engage in conversation with you sometimes. Some can talk intelligently. And some growl, man. They growl. And that's all I say. I don't understand that language. You better speak to me. You know, but you don't need that, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Because I guess 9.5 out of 10 times, whatever they say, you know, ain't a bunch of lies. They're lies like their father, Satan. Satan is the father of lies, see? Okay. And then Satan has his power. He has his kingdom. And what does he have in his kingdom? And let me share a few with you. One, and you'll see in Ephesians 6 chapter, when you read it, you see all these things given. You have principalities, and I'm going to tell you what these things do. I'm going to give you just a slight summary of these hierarchies in Satan's kingdom. You have principalities, powers. You have some called the rulers of the darkness. You have some called spiritual wicked in high places. You have some called devil and demons. You have some called spirits of the underworld. And you got some, and I'm really going to elaborate on that, called familiar spirit. And then you have some called unclean spirits. And then you have some called seducing spirits. And then you have some called deceiving spirits. And you got some called spirits of infirmity. And some evil spirits. That's a lot of stuff. And folks, let me slow down just a little bit more. I'm going to tell you what kinds of these are the head deacons, and they got minor demons working under their leadership. Again, the big guys. They're called principalities, and the big dogs. You got some called powers, big time. You got some called the rulers of the darkness. In other words, they don't want the light to shine on people so they can get saved. They'll do anything to prevent you from spreading the gospel or teaching the gospel or witnessing somebody. It's like in my case, a guy was sick and lost. He said, go talk to this man. When I was a deacon, no, not a deacon, I was a chaplain. And I went to the hospital, and I introduced myself, and the guy said, well, I didn't ask for no chaplain. I said, no, you didn't. So I'm just coming by to say hello and shit. and how'd you walk with the Lord? I don't want to hear that crap. But who you believe in? I said, Jesus. Well, you see, you got a problem here already. And I go, what do you mean? I don't believe in that white man. He's not a white man. Them white people just want you, they want to run the whole world. Now they want our God to be white like them. I go, say, sir, he's not white. He's not white, sir. You're going to have to believe that crap. And I says, and moreover, you can think for yourself. You don't have to think that somebody tell you what you think, what you think, or what you should think Jesus look like and these kinds of things. Besides, I can care less what color Jesus is. I don't care if he's black, blue, green. What. Guess what the man did? He died on the cross. That's what he says. He said, well, I said, no, I can't accept that. So I said, well, have a good day. And I walked out. And you know what? The Lord sent me back. I said, go talk to him one more time. I went back. I said, sir, I don't like to just sham around people, build my religion down on anybody. First of all, it's not religion. I'm talking about my Jesus. I don't want to hear that mess, you know. And I said, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, you know, but if you die, I don't know when. It'd be a shame when the Lord, when you go stand, when he carrying your body in the casket to the graveyard, and then somebody over the thing, over the casket, he's gone to a, and you know that he hasn't gone to a better place. And you hear that lie a lot of times now. He's gone to a better place. And he's standing, why are you saying he's going to a better place? His spirit, the real him, because we all are spiritual beings. We just live in a fleshly body. The body's not us. Our spirit is us. And we, and he's standing before the Lord and says, I sent Brother John to tell you about me. I sent Brother John to tell you about my sacrificial death. But you ignored him. You called him everything. You called me all kinds of names and everything else. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart. No, I repent now, Lord. I'm sorry, kind of a thing. And Lord says, nobody can get saved on this side. You have to get saved before you die. And then they're, how the hell would you then? So. But boy, you know, I heard a lot of stuff in my 20 years as a chaplain. Okay. So, what else I want to say? Not only determine the specific problem that person you're trying to help need. It could be, like I said, spiritual problem, because he or she don't know the Bible. It could be a physical. He or she being attacked by devils or demons, so they can cuss God out and get mad at God. Or some have mental problems, and some have emotional problems. And then I want to get into some heavyweights before I do. Yeah, let me go into the specifics. You know, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. You know, it's a good idea. You know, a thought came to me just now. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, one of the two, want me to share with you right quick some obstacles to deliverance in the minds of human beings. I don't believe in that mess, you know, this kind of thing. I don't believe in no demons. I don't believe this. I don't believe that kind of a thing. Obstacles to believe. And he want me to share at least three. There's about 12 reasons why mankind, I'm talking about human beings, can't accept religion, can't accept Jesus and these kinds of things, and especially can't accept the thought of demons walking around. I'm talking, you know, such thing as a demon. And, you know, all my young years, I was taught that either all demons were in hell, there was no such thing as demons. And I'm just going to share about two or three things what the world says about it. First of all, there are misunderstandings and misinformation concerning the ministry of deliverance, like I just said. And remember this, the first battleground, I told you this earlier, is in the minds of men. In other words, that's where all the thoughts, do this, don't do that, say this, don't say that. All that comes from the mind, everything you do. When you go to eat breakfast, when you decide you want to go have lunch, if you decide you want to go see this man or go see this woman or go apply for the job, some of them are your thoughts, but some of them are the Holy Spirit thoughts that want, got a job planned for you because you wasn't aware of it. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, and you go. The first battleground is in the minds of men. And so remember the saying, everything that comes into your mind, your thoughts, is not only you. It could be several things talking to you. It could be the flesh. Hey, remember what we used to do when you got saved? I like doing what you had me, the flesh, doing before you got saved. Okay? So you got to remember the flesh talked to us. And then the demon told you, oh, man, nothing wrong. Go ahead and smoke a weed, man. I mean, we get high and have a good time and these kinds of things. My God. Don't get so religious. Please, give me a break. Go ahead and go back smoking again, knowing that if you keep on smoking, we'll try to get you to get cancer of the lungs kind of thing. Or if you smoke weed, do an overdose and die, and then you got to go stand for God, and God said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. So you got to remember, the first battleground is in the minds of men and women. And because you're thinking it, I can't say it enough, it is not you. And that was the hardest thing I had a problem with, because I didn't think somebody talking to me in my mind. It's my mind. It belongs to me. It's in my head, in my brain. I think what I want to think, and I think some things I don't want to think, but it's me. You know, anybody including my thoughts. That was the biggest lie I told myself. The first battleground is in the minds of us, where Satan has sown questions. All right, well, let me see now. Is Jesus white, black, blue, what? Is Jesus really real, who he say he is? And then that demon put doubts in your mind. He puts fear. I heard this many times. John, y'all can deal with them demons. I'm afraid of them. I ain't dealing with no demons. Not me. And Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then I said, go and cast out demons and minister to the sick and stuff like that. It's nothing to fear. And that's what the devil wanted us to do, fear. I just heard this today. Y'all can have that. I saw them demons up in that sky. But up in the ceiling. Man growling, all that stuff. Like, get me down, kind of a thing. And don't do job, John, get this thing down. You know? And so, there's nothing to fear, because what? We have the Holy Spirit, that we have a temple of the Holy Spirit. That demon can't do no more than what we let him do. We need not spend time with those who are unteachable, argumentative. There's a lot of people out there, you know, I challenge you, ain't no such thing as demons. Sometimes I ask the Lord, don't bother with me. Some say, go. I'll tell you what to say. When I get through, the guy be crying like a baby. I'm sorry, Mr. John. You know, kind of a thing, because the Holy Spirit be telling me what to say, or Jesus, one after two. We need not spend time with those who are unteachable, just one time, because they're soaked in demonic hearing business. They listen and they think it's their thoughts, when it's the demons giving those thoughts to them. Jesus sometimes gives a simple, straightforward answer to his critics. Remember the Bible. But spend his time ministering to the people who were accepted, those who want to hear about demons and everything else about casting out. He would talk with them. He would teach them, as well as, remember, he was teaching the disciples because they're interested and they wanted to know. Now, those who want an answer should be given an answer. Tell me about the demons, Brother John, you know, kind of thing. Because I want to. And sometimes I want to those who don't want to hear about it, because it's important. Ignorance, prejudice, and fear are hurdles that some sincere Christians must get over before they are willing to become involved in spiritual warfare. Just remember, demons are real. Don't believe that lie. Them thoughts that come in your tongue, oh, man, please. You educated. Don't you have a doctorate or a master's degree? Please. That's stupid. And yes, because you know you have a doctorate degree or you graduated from college. You shouldn't believe something stupid like that. Yeah, that's right. I'm intelligent. I forgot I'm a principal. You know, I'm a minister. I'm a chaplain. I'm a Christian teacher. You know, I'm a scholar. I'm a saved banker. And I should know better and think things like that kind of a thing. The only way to deal with devils and demons is through direct confrontation. You know what I say? Not me. The only way to deal with the devil and demons are through direct confrontations. Some believers have false opinions that prevent them from accepting deliverance as a vital ministry. Hear what I didn't say that again. Some believers have false opinions that prevent them from accepting deliverance as a vital ministry. And before one can bring himself to obedience to deal with the devils and demons, the following obstacles must be overcome. I'm just going to share three, because I really want to talk about those demon kinds here and everything else. But I'll just give you three illustrations of why men and women don't believe in devils. Like, and I'm not going to go into the deep stuff. I'm just going to give you a heading why. Some people fear and terror at the mention of demons. No. It's like they're talking to a gentleman. He said, no, man, I don't need that. He was trembling and talking back to me. No, man, I don't want them things. No, get that for me. Fear and terror at the mention of demons, devil, or deliverance, okay? And then I can go into the summary part, giving you in-depth information why they fear the mention of demons or devil, okay? okay? And then another one why they won't accept it. They got unbelief. There is no such thing as a devil or demons, John. You're supposed to be an intelligent man, okay? And you got to remember, wrong concepts of the devil have been programmed by the world. He's not running around in a red suit with a pitchfork. He's not the ruler over hell. One day he will become the chief prisoner of hell. Another reason why people don't accept deliverance ministry. Demons are real, but they're too powerful for us to confront. Not me. Them demons ain't going to beat them. I saw demons casting people up there in the ceiling at the church the other night, kind of a thing. I can address that as well. The devil can do no more than he's allowed to do. He must work through accusations, deceptions, and temptations, okay? And I can give you several other reasons why. Some don't believe that they're demons. Deliverance is, they think that even though it's valid, it should be left to experts. Well, we all can be experts. God said, go. Well, you know the scriptures in Mark. He tell us to go in and deal with those demons, cast those demons out of those people whose possession don't even know anything about it. And then there's others who say, oh, no such thing. Christians cannot have demons. Now, that's heavyweight, and I can't get into that. But you got to remember that when you get saved, say Christ, you pray the Lord and Savior. But you might quit some of your sins, kind of a thing. You may quit some, but you don't quit all. Oh, there's something else in my spirit I want to say. They say, well, you know, our body has a temple of the Holy Spirit, you know. Well, if you know the Jewish temple, they have three sections, and God was always in the Holy of Holies. Well, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in our spirit, but that demonic spirit tried to take over our fleshly part. Can you imagine, like, when you're saved and you're wondering why you're going around sneaking to see Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, and you're a Christian? You see, you got the Holy Spirit that dwells within your spirit, but you got that devil making around on the outside, like outside of the throne, telling you what to do, you see. And you tell, I'm supposed to be a Christian. How come I'm still doing these things? I'm a Christian, and I'm going to bed with of the same sex. I'm supposed to be a Christian, supposed to have the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm doing this and that. See, you split in half. Part of you. And that's the Holy Spirit within your spirit. But after a while, the Holy Spirit gets tired of it, you're going to leave. Because the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? And they will come back seven times worse, only if you allow it to. They don't automatically come back seven times worse. That just means you go back into that same sin after you get delivered, okay? And another thing, one misbelief about the ministry of living. The apostles did everything for us. We don't need to fight. We don't need to fight. We got it made. We got nothing. We got no problem with that. And that's a lie straight out of it. Okay. And they say deliverance is just a matter of faith. In other words, oh, you just have the faith and worry about it. You don't have to commit all those things. Just have faith, huh? Yeah, you can have faith, but you ain't got all of it. And that demon's going to have you lying when it becomes relevant to you. And you might sneak on your husband, even if you're single. Fornicate and these kind of things. I don't know why I'm doing this. You know, well, most of them, when they tell me, when they finally pretend, they say, Brother John, I just can't help. You know what? I'm human. And I don't think God hates us for that. I mean, if I was supposed to have sex, why did he give me a sex organ? Huh? I said, to have children with your wife. No. Suppose you're not married. I said, then you're supposed to keep it in your pocket, bro. He said, oh, man, that's stupid. That don't make no sense. Then he give me a, you know what? Man, I say, well, the Bible says, if you can't hang in it like that, get married. But be sure you love the woman. Don't get married just to have sex. Okay? And all kinds of things. Now, what I want to do is tell you about these demons. Who are these demons? What do they do? And I hope to God I'm not speaking too fast. I'm looking at my little notes saying, slow down, Brother John. Slow down. Okay, guidelines for dealing with demons. I got to give you that first because I don't want to hear about. They all went down in the basement, tried to cast out a demon, and they had to carry the reverend or the deacon, whoever was trying to do the deliverance, had to carry him to the hospital. You know, kind of a thing. Remember this, and then I'm gonna really get into the nitty gritty. Guidelines for dealing with demons. First, you pray for the sermon, okay? Demons must be dealt with only on the basis of Jesus' authority. Do not, I repeat, do not attempt to deliver outside of his guidance. It's the Holy Spirit and Jesus telling you what to do. Don't come to them. I think I'm going to do this. And that demon's looking at you, monitoring your thoughts. Pray for the sermon. And the Holy Spirit will say, say this, do this, say that. Recognize the symptoms. You got to do that too. Kind of demon you're dealing with. But if you still can't figure it out, ask the Holy Spirit. Be slow to make judgment. I'll tell you what kind of demon this is, y'all. He's the kind of demon that do this and do that. Be slow, because they can deceive you. Be slow to make judgment, because he can be a demon that causes sickness. He can be a demon that causes a person to have mental crap in their mind, physical crap, or emotional stuff. So you got to figure out, just because you got a demon, that don't mean it's the same kind of demon. It's different problems. You got all kinds of different types of demons. Be slow to make your judgments. And another thing, do not deal with this situation alone. In other words, always have fellow Christian men and women with you when you do it. Don't try to do it by yourself. The demon will beat the daylights out of you. Look around and go, I got one now. And he dance all around you, because the Bible says demons are a spirit, spiritual beings, okay? And before he became a demon, he was what? A holy angel. He was around me even before the beginning of the world, okay? He'd been around a long time. Say, do not deal with demons alone. Just be cool. You know, you can go in the room and say, sister, son, brother, son, son, I need you to come over here. This child of mine, or this husband of mine, or this cousin of mine, eyes turning black and rolling and stuff like that, acting crazy. Could you come over here, please? Just say, I know who you are, you demon. Come out of my cousin. Come out of my brother, sister. Excuse me. Come on over here. I need you, kind of a thing. All right. Do not be afraid, because, man, if they sense that you're scared, it's like this gentleman who was talking to me the other day. He told me, I don't hear nothing about it. I ain't going to deal with it. No, nothing. I said, but don't you? I don't want to hear. I told you I don't want to hear about John. Boom, and gone. Do not be afraid. You must keep what you discover confidential. In other words, when you talk to this demon exposed to you what the person is doing. Don't say, child, guess what I was told? Guess what that man is doing? Guess what my husband is doing? Guess what my brother is doing? Guess what my neighbor is doing? When I was talking to him, man, that demon told everything on him. And so remember this, continue to minister to the individual after the demons have left, because sometime after you cast that demon out, that demon will be looking for an open door. That demon will be looking for an open door to come back in. And when they do come back, then that individual is seven times as worse as he was. I repeat, when you exercise a demon and then you act stupid and say, well, I'm just going to do this just a little bit, that kind of thing, and you open that door and go back into that sin after that, that demon was cast out of you, you'll be seven times as worse, the Bible said. So when you have deliverance done to you, you got a spiritual warfare on you, because they want to get you back, and then they have seven more of them other demons coming into you, and then Lord have mercy, kind of a thing. Do not be discouraged by an apparent failure, because sometimes when you try to do deliverance, you won't be able to do it because you're beginning, and then sometimes you don't know what kind of demons you're dealing with, and some of them are really stubborn and overbearing, kind of a thing, and that's why you really need to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, don't be trying to cast out no demons and everything else until you've been trained to do it, and most importantly, do not try to cast out a demon until you can say, guess what, Brother John? I can hear the Lord. I can hear the Holy Spirit. And then you get off that track. We have His written word. We have His written word. We don't hear His voice nowadays. We have His written word. Yeah, the written word, God's speaking to us, but He wants to speak to us too, personally. He wants to speak to us personally. You want to speak to you through the Bible, but He wants to speak to you personally. I'm talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They both want to speak to you personally. And the only way you ever, ever, ever get to hear them talk, I've been trying for years to hear the voice. I don't think that's happening nowadays like in the first century. I try, but I can't hear His voice. You need to ask the Lord, why cannot I hear Your voice? And you might get a kickback, says, because you're not real, honey, because you're not real, buddy. I see what you're doing. I see you looking at that man. I see you looking at the woman. I see you masturbating. I see you lying. I see you shoplifting. I see you stealing money out of the orphan plays, out of the budget. I see all that. You will never hear from me. The only time you can hear from me when you die, and I'm going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Just like you got the new name now. It's about to blow my mind. All I hear now is Ball Jack, Ball Jack. Do you realize that every time me and Brother Emmett teach and we get through, they mad when we teach, and they threaten us, I'm coming down to the Ball Jack you. I get busy. I said, Brother Emmett, what are you guys saying? I said, I don't want to act stupid. I said, what do you mean by Ball Jack? You fall out laughing. He said, well, I said, some of these guys who call us back and want to talk to us and talk about, every time we say tongues has not ceased, tongue has ceased, you stupid, coming down to the Ball Jack, I'm tired of you telling them lies. It's just because he's ignorant of the Bible. You know, now some not just ignorant, don't get me wrong. Some just like me. We've been taught that. So you're going to teach it. If your mama say 1 and 1 is 2, yes, which word you're going to believe. Mama tell you such and such, you're going to believe it. So when you're in school for all them years and they're telling you all those misinterpretations, you're going to believe it because this man been teaching for 20, 30 years and he's a doctor. Well, he's teaching what he's been taught. So tongues has not ceased. God personally had to tell me it not ceased. And I don't have time to go into a testimony because, you know, I only got so many minutes. So I want to say we're not perfect, and the devil would like to lie to us. He said, do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Remember that. Do not, because sometimes it just fails. I might be in there, brother, and my daughter. My daughter was gifted. God had ordained her for the deliverance ministry. They call her nickname is Gun Gangster. And she goes out a lot with Brother Emmett. Do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Do not be distracted by extreme fatigue. Man, I'm tired. You know, them demons can trick you. Because when I was in chapel one day and I went to visit this person, the Lord told me to go visit this person, lead that person to the Lord. So I went and say, how are you, brother? And how are you doing? Since I'm talking to him, I said, you know, after I shared the gospel, the word with him, guess what I did? I said, wouldn't you like to accept Jesus now as your Lord and Savior? You know, praise God. I would like to, but I'm so sleepy. I've been up early this morning. Chaplain John, could you come back just a little bit later? Well, I said, I don't want to indulge on the person and make them do something they don't want to do. It'll never happen. You know, I said, well, understand. She said, well, I kind of been up late last night watching TV and said, I'm kind of sleepy. Could you come back in a little bit, about an hour now? I said, sure. God bless you. I'll be back. Thank you so much, Chaplain John. And then I go back to my office and put my Bible down. I said, I got to go down to the snack shop so I can get me a Coke and some potato chips. I go down there, and that same individual told me they're sleepy. They're in the corner in that room there laughing and joking with some other buddies of his. Just didn't want me to lead them to the Lord. That spirit in them didn't want me to have them to get saved. I'm so tired and sleepy, Brother John. Could you come back later, please? Said, sure. I'm not going to sit there and shoot. No, I ain't going nowhere. You're going to accept Jesus before I go. No. He can't lead nobody to the Lord like that. And so I said, I went down there to get a Coke and a bag of potato chips. And that joker was in there laughing and crying with some other inmates, hospital inmates, that is. So you got to be ready to stay extended period of time. Sometimes you might have a hard demon, one of them bad ones. And I ain't got to listen to jokers. Because sometimes they may say to you a whole hour. I said, what's your name? And how long you been in this individual? What you got this individual doing? And they go, figure it out. What's your name? Figure it out. And I said, what is your name? Figure it out. How long you been in that man, that woman? Figure it out. That's the way they tell them. Okay, so that's why I used to go. Holy Spirit, that demon name and everything. How do you know my name? How do you know my name? You know, kind of a thing. But you got to remember this. Keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who walk with Jesus. Man, when they see the real thing walk in that room in that door, wherever they are, they start, like, sister, my brother and sister who I'm talking to, some of you are so righteous in the Lord, I got to tell you, in case you never know. Some of your friends probably talk hell to the other friends when they get around you, when you get into their presence. Like, praise the Lord, sister so-and-so. You know why? That demon's afraid of you. That demon know you the real thing. But as soon as you walk out the door, honey, that man was so fine, I won't jump bed with him. Man, that might, man, you know what, I'm thinking about doing this. You know, I'm going to get a little, where can I go to get a little bit of weed? I ain't talking about, you know, I'm overdosing. I'm just a little weed kind of thing, see? And then when the pastor come by or the deacon come by, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Reverend, praise the Lord, pastor, praise the Lord, deacon, praise the Lord, sister, so and so and so and so, and they got a couple of weeds in the pocket, you know. So that is that. Now I want to get into the different kinds of demons. I lost track of the time. I said, well, I know what happened. My time ran out. I'm going to be cut off right while I'm talking. Okay, remember this. Attributes of demons. I'm going to tell you about them. Before being cast out of heaven, demons had the same, y'all, the same attributes as the good angels. Now remember, all demons are male. There's no such thing as female demons. All demons are males, and all demons used to be holy angels in the presence of God before his throne, but they let Satan talk them out of that pride jumping. Well, you know, he's mad and jealous of me because I wanted to have my crown and my kingdom, so he's kicking me out. Come with me, and I'll make you all executives, you know, and managers and supervisors over these human beings, over my in my kingdom. And I got a kingdom. Everybody know there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and I'm going to have my own kingdom. Come on, y'all. Yeah, boss. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Before being cast out of heaven, demons had the same attributes. They much more divine. There's scriptures after scripture talk about angels are twice as smart as mankind. And those demons, although they are demons, and demons are just holy angels that fell into sin and followed Satan and got kicked out of heaven, but they're smart as, you know what, I mean, they are geniuses according to our minds, okay? Let me tell you something about them. Those demons are spiritual beings. There's two kinds of beings, spiritual beings and human beings, okay? We the fleshly human beings, they're the spiritual beings. They are spirits, and they can speak, and they don't want to tell me, why don't you give me a little more weed, man? Shoot, dang, man, look at me so holy, man. Look at that man, he's handsome. Look at her, and look at this offering. I'm passing this plate around. And I see people put checks in there, but I see some people put $20 bills, $50 bills in there. I don't think money is $50 bills. Nobody never know. They do what they want to do. They exercise their wills. Demons demonstrate intelligence. Like I said, the Bible in Mark 1:24 talk about how smart they are. They demonstrate their intelligence, especially when the demon trying to get you to do things. No matter what you say, he's going to try to top you on what you say to make you think it's stupid what you just said. Oh, man, you know, kind of thing. Another attribute, like I said, some are spirits. Well, not some. All demons are spiritual beings. And they believe. And the Bible says, they feel Jesus too. And everybody, the Bible says, whenever somebody mentions Jesus, they tremble. Demons know who Jesus is. They know Jesus created them. Okay? All right. Also, attributes of demons, let me go on. They can demonstrate intelligence. Man, they're whippersnappers. You think they're all the judges and lawyers. They have emotions. They get scared. They get mad and all these kinds of things. Because right in a minute, when you're talking to them, they're going to say, make me, figure it out, kind of a thing. They recognize Jesus, of course. Jesus is the one that created them. And they were always before they rebelled against Jesus along with Satan. They were always before the throne of God. They saw God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have supernatural strength. He didn't mess with them. They have supernatural presence. They can be here 1 second and can zip right into another section just right quick. They don't say, well, let me get in the car. Let me get in the truck. Let me get in my mobile. Let me get in my airplane. All they got to do is just think it and boop, they're there in a second. They are eternal. Spiritual beings never die. Human beings die once. They're raised again. We die from the flesh. And when the flesh gets older, when our time comes up, and then when our spirit leave our body, go stand before the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said one or two things. Depart from me. I never knew you. I'm welcome into the kingdom that I prepared for you, ever since the beginning of the world. And that spirit will go to hell, going to be in hell for all eternity, never die, just suffer. And you got a lot of people saying, well, that's the part I don't believe, because Jesus is a loving God. Ain't nobody going to suffer for eternity, fool. You know, kind of thing. Well, I don't care what you think. See, that's the problem with you and me. I'm talking what the Bible says, and you tell me what you think. Why don't you read the Bible and see what God thinks, okay? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I can't accept that. No, that's stupid. No. You better see what the Bible says. Okay. They have supernatural strength, And they are eternal. Like I said, the spirit never dies. They have their own doctrine. Oh, Jesus, just a good man. He's not really God. Don't you believe that mess? Okay. How can he be Jesus? How can he be God's son when God ain't married? And if he's married, couldn't he be illegitimate, huh? Then that's when I want to slap the, you know what, I said, check you later, man. I ain't got time to talk to that fool. They are evil. These demons can't, I'm still talking about attributes of demons. They can tempt you to do all kinds of things. Remember, please remember, because you thinking it and say, hey, it won't hurt just one time to smoke a weed one more time, get high, get a needle in my arm so I can feel good. That needle might be the one that with that fool who gives you that, you may not know what he's doing. And then you overjack, and then can you imagine you're in the hospital and the family come in and say, the doctor say, he died from overdose. Say, what she been doing? Say, she died because she overdosed. What? See? And they'll be going, hey, I got another one. Then the spirit leave the body and go before Jesus. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never know you. I never knew you. We never had a personal relationship. The devil can deceive us, just like he deceived a third of the angels out of heaven. And they can oppress, and they can really bring bondage on you. Now, say, Brother John, what kind of demons are? What? How are they organized? Tell me a little bit about them. Say, okay. Here we go. You got some demons. Oh, please slow me down. I'm going to get excited. I don't want to get excited. I want to slow down so that everybody can understand what I'm saying. All right. The demons are organized. Okay, they are angelic forces. You have some called principalities. You have some called powers. You have some called rulers of the darkness. These are the big shots, okay? Some called principalities, some called powers, some called rulers of the darkness, and some called spiritual hosts of wickedness, okay? And I'm going to tell you what do they do in a few minutes. Some are called dominions and principalities and powers and all. Demons serve different functions. 1, 2, 3, 4. Instead of listing all 50 functions they got, I'm going to share at least 4 of the functions with you. Demons serve different functions. Like number one, you got what you call evil. What do they do, Brother John? Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. Now, y'all know what immoral acts are. I lost track of the time. I don't know if that computer going to cut me all right in the middle of my conversation. Now, I lost the track of time. I don't have the slightest idea. I forgot and left my watch in the kitchen. Evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. And y'all know what immoral acts is. Do this, do that. You know, have all different kinds of. Like I know guys when I was in the military. Guys come to be country boys talking about how they like to screw their calves in the back. They get a stool. I don't want to get into all that nasty stuff. I couldn't believe my hearing. You know, so you have evil spirits. Evil. They are very immoral. Everything how you can classify it as moral, that's them doing it. And then you have unclean spirits. I said evil spirits. Now I'm saying unclean spirits. Well, what do they do, Brother John? Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Everything you can think is nasty, that's them, okay? I can't think of 100 of them right now, but unclean thoughts. And you know what they are. So you have evil spirits. They influence immoral acts. Then you have unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. And y'all know what unclean means. And they are spirits of infirmity. They afflict the body. And you tell me, I don't know why I'm always sick. Man, my God, mom and dad is healthy as they can be. And I'm just 18, 19, I'm 20. And every time I got to go to the hospital because I got these fevers, and I pass out on the job, what in the world is wrong with me? You know, and I say, I don't know. We got to examine you again. We got to give you a thorough thing. And you always sick, always vomiting, feeling dizzy and stuff like that. It's because you're being attacked. But the doctor don't know that. I said, honey, I don't know what your problem is, because I gave you a full evaluation, and I can't see anything. Well, doctor, I'm always feeling nauseated, and sometimes my leg hurt, my knee hurt real bad that I can't hardly move. Well, honey, go see this doctor. And you go see, they send to all these different specialized doctors, and they still can't find a thing wrong with you. You're being attacked. Because you know what that demon wants you to say? The hell with all this, man. man, and I'm supposed to be a Christian, and I prayed to God, but what you need is deliverance. You need more than just prayer. You need deliverance. You need to get that demon out of your butt, see? And so those demons just causing all those affliction on you. You get sick, you got fever, and these kinds of things. And it's something that you didn't do personally. It could be what your relatives have done. I'm talking about down the line. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible says, if you sin, disobey God and disbelieve in God and don't worship me, not only you going to suffer, but also your generation, 4 to 10 generations. That means because you curse God, are you talking about, ain't no such thing as God, and you know God, but you don't teach your children about God. You let them grow, let them believe what they want to believe. No, Lord, no, that's the biggest mistake. Because that devil said, thank you, I would train them. And that devil will give your child friends who don't know the devil and have them smoking weed, having all kinds of crazy sex and all that. And they think they're partying doing it. That's because you didn't bring them up in the Word of God. And you tell me you can wait till they can think for themselves. You want them to decide for themselves. You're supposed to teach them and tell them what they're supposed to think or teach them. Then they can think because they have some knowledge to think on. But they can't think intelligently if they don't have a proper mindset where they can look back and challenge it kinds of things. Okay, demons serve different functions. You got evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. You got unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. You got spirits of infirmity. I don't know why. I'm always sick, Brother John. I just can't, you know, I go, okay. You know, and I've talked to Brother Emmons and talked to some other. They said perhaps the person got a demonic infirmity spirit. Want them to curse God, want to get mad kind of a thing and say, the heck with it kind of a thing. That could be it. Then you have deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines. And the primary main false doctrine they use is when you hear somebody say, we have his written word. Ain't no such thing as tongues. Now, don't get mad if your pastor's one that's teaching that, because he's teaching. He don't mean any harm. He's teaching what he's been taught. Now, when he's a young guy, a young woman sitting up in that theology class, and that man been there 20 or 25 or 30 years teaching in the seminary, you would say, well, that sucker been there that long. He don't know what in the world he's talking about, but that's all he's been preaching and looking at the Bible all the year. So you're going to believe him. That's like he's saying, 5 times 5 is 1. You say, well, he's been teaching it for 25 years. I believe it, you know, kind of a thing. So some of them, just like myself, that's the way I was taught from the time I was 18 to the time I was 30. I always thought all demons were in hell. There was no such thing as demons and nobody speaking tongues, you know, because I was strict Baptist for 20 years and I was strict Methodist for another 20 years before I became non-denominational, you know, kind of a thing. Because the Holy Spirit had to. But I must say this, because you don't speak in tongues, that don't mean you're going to hell. It's just that's just a blessing of the Lord. You shortchange yourself of, because when you speak in tongues, that's when the Holy Spirit steps in. The Holy Spirit might want to say something to the congregation. You might be a preacher, or you might be a deacon, or you might be the guest speaker in a church somewhere. And you're about to say the benediction, and the Holy Spirit says, I have something I want to say to them. And you go, yes, Lord. And then you go, and then the pastor look at the child, at the sister, who the gentleman, whoever was speaking to him, say, I don't know what you said, brother. Do you know? I said, no, he didn't give me an interpretation. But he gave me the ability. I said, when I speak in tongues, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Use my vocal cords and my tongue. But when I speak in tongues, God always gives some two people the interpretation of what I said until he blessed me with interpretation. And I say, does anybody in here have interpretation? And you see two people raise their hand every time. So he gave it to me. And guess what? That person get up and say, Pastor, what Brother John said in tongues was, he said the Lord was saying, he blessed you, that you are a righteous man, that he's going to bless your church and you're going to double your church. He also said that there's a sister sitting in the back of the church who is suffering from cancer. Tomorrow that would be gone. Would you come down? And that person come running down screaming, that was me. And then the person go downstairs in the basement with a couple of sisters and they pray over according to what the Lord said, the Lord said to pray for them. And when they come back up, the thing, that lump in that chest is gone. See, it's still real. Don't let the devil trick you talking about tongue says going, just remember the Bible, all three verses. I don't care what version of the Bible you pick up. If you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says prophecy will end, you know. And prophecy just means God speaking. God may speak to one of you guys and say, tell your pastor, tell your sister to go to Sister So-and-so's house and tell them this for me, you know, kind of thing. And you have these thoughts. You hear God talk to you. You go, and the person gets saved because you was obedient to God. So then you notice, it say, prophecy will be canceled, you know, kind of thing, and tongues will cease, and knowledge, yeah, and knowledge will cease. Well, see, the devil is stupid to say knowledge has ceased, because then you say, you must be thinking I'm stupid, devil. I can look at the first century and look all the way up into the 21st century, and knowledge hadn't ceased. Look at all the gains mankind has made from medication, care, transportation, all these other kinds of stuff. Please. But he don't want you to believe in tongues, because when you speak in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you and saying something that somebody else can interpret, and then it'd be a blessing to whoever you're talking to. Sometimes the pastor of many churches where it's believed can stand there and get ready to do the benediction, and the Lord's with the Holy Spirit, I'm not through yet. He said, wait a minute, folks. Wait a minute. The Lord don't want me to stop. Right now, the Lord got something he want to say. See, and then he may get up, and because he can't speak in tongues, he may say it in English, you know. And he said, wow, Pastor, you were heavy. Where did that come from? It's like you know me personally. I said, I don't know, honey. I'm just doing what the Lord told me. He just saying that. Just be saying. But guess what? That was the Holy Spirit telling him what to say. But the Lord sometimes wants to speak in tongues, because there's a whole lot of things, and he's going to give somebody interpretation. You may speak in tongues 5-10 minutes. And then somebody give interpretation. Okay. Because the demons serve different functions. Some serve as evil spirits. Oh, back to that. It didn't say tongues have ceased. It said tongues will. And I went to my English teacher. I went to one Bible scholar I know. I said, John, and it said tongue has ceased. Tell me, look at it. Look at all the versions, King James, New King James, and all. It doesn't say tongue has. It says tongues will. And will mean what, John? Do you know? I don't have any change. It's will, past, present, or future tense. And I have to think about it for a minute. Oh, my God. That's future tense. And then look at the next verse. And it said, that which is perfect comes. Then it will cease. That which is perfect. Who's perfect? You, me, who? I said, Jesus, thank you. When that which is perfect comes, then we don't need tongues no more, because God wouldn't have to speak enough in tongues and have somebody interpret it. He'd be here in the presence to speak to us, to whatever you want to say. I said, I got you. And I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I believe. And when I said that, I felt led to go down to the altar, and I said, I receive in Jesus' name. And next thing I know, the pastor said, just start praising him, John. I said, I ain't got it. Yeah, I'm trying. He said, just thank him for it. When you became a true believer and not the hanky-panky behind everybody back, you get it. I said, Lord, I receive it in faith. Now, when on top, I said, Lord, kids came out. But remember, you have to be sold out. It ain't gonna be you Christian on Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, you cut somebody up, beating somebody up, stealing the line and all this. You know, you won't be able to get to be speaking tongues. He don't give it to hypocrites. He don't give it to play Christians, okay? You got to be real. And you never hear it if you play. If you go into church, go praise the Lord on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you cut somebody out. Are you stealing some money from here? Are you sexually possessing somebody? Are you idolizing somebody? You ain't going to hear his voice. You got to be sold out. That's one thing about the Lord. See, don't play with me. You ain't going to never, never, never hear my voice until you decide you want to be real 100%. I didn't say 98.5%. I said 100%. Now, where that came from? I ain't never said that all these times. God got me saying that. He said, you ain't going to never hear my voice until you sold out to me. And you can't fool me. I'm God. I know your thoughts. I know what you're going to say. I know what's going to happen to you next week. I even know what's going to happen to you next month. And even next year, I know where you're going to be. I know you're going to be with me. Or with the devil, still in the world. I know, because I'm God. See, we can't play with God. We can play with our friends and buddies and all that, lie like I don't know what. Okay, now, demons. Remember I said demons serve different functions. Some are evil spirits. Some are unclean spirits. Some are spirits of infirmity. Some are deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines. You have false teachers in some of these schools. They didn't call them. They thought it was getting, I'm a teacher at such and such a seminary. And you got teachers and teach these Christian classes in some of these schools and don't know the Lord. They're just speaking from their mind to the intellect. I have my doctorate degrees. I know what I'm talking about. Deceiving spirits, they produce false doctrines. Remember what I told you? We have His written word. Yeah, we have it. God speaks to us through His written word, but He also speaks to us man to man, woman to woman, man to woman now, okay? The only reason you're not hearing it and you accept that we have the word is because you haven't heard Him in all these years, and you ain't going to never hear from Him until you decide to be sold out. You can jive your mama, your daddy, your friends, your best friend, your husband, wife, whatever, but you can't jive God. Okay? He knows what you're going to do before you even think of doing it. He knows what you're going to do next week. He knows who's going to get killed in the Old Election that next week. He knows who's going to die of cancer tonight. He knows all that. He knows who's going to die of cancer next month or 2 months or 3 months. He knows all that. We can't jive you. And you never hear His voice until you decide to say, I am 100% sold out to the Lord. He don't want no third of you. You know, He don't want three-fourths of you. Four-fourths make a whole. He don't want no three-fourths of you. He want four-fourths of you. And if you don't get Him four-fourths, you ain't going to never. You just be living. We have His written word. Okay? All right. Demons attack us in different ways. Let me tell you how they do that. They like to quote scripture to us, and they be quoting wrong. They twist the scriptures. You know about that, like demons, like I told you, like we have His written, written word, and we don't need tongue. And then they quote the scriptures wrong. They teach their own doctrines. And when people come and tell me, well, there is no Trinity, because a lot of churches teach us there's only one God. God the Father, there ain't no God, Holy Spirit, and there ain't no God, Jesus. Yeah, just a figment of our imagination kind of thing, just misquote. And I got some, and I know some standard churches that teaches that Jesus is not the Son of God. He's just a white man who's trying to be holy, and now lost his mind, want to be God. And how can he be God when he was born out of wedlock? Oh, you hear all that crap? You can't tell God what to do, and you're trying to figure God out in your little mind, please give me a break. All right. Satanic attacks. They quote scriptures, and before you know it, you be quoting scriptures, you be taking all out of context while it's sin in your mind. They teach their own doctrine. Like I said, there's no Trinity. There's just God, one God. And they transform themselves into angels of light, and what that means, you may see a brother or sister that you admire, and you don't know that that person might have a demon in them who excel in everything, smart as I don't know what made all A's in school and everything else, but they got a good earthly, fleshly mind, but they do not have a spiritual mind. So when they quote the scripture, what do you think that means? Well, let me tell you, my sister, and they be telling you what they figure. You know, well, you see, wow, you heavy. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. My pleasure. And you take it all out of context. We need to interpret the scripture according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not according to our fleshly mind. I don't care how many doctorate degrees, master's degrees we got. If you don't know the Lord, have a personal relationship, and can't hear Him, can't communicate with Him, most of your interpretation is going to be strictly fleshly. That's the way I see it. That's the way I understand it. Okay? Let's see. Demons attack us in various ways. Like I said, they teach their own doctrines. They transform themselves into angels of light. That is a godly man. It's God. And don't know that godly man, I don't care if he's a member of the church, he's a principal of the school, or he's a president of this college, and you just idolize him because he got all these titles and these degrees and everything else. The man may be one of the biggest whoremongers in the world. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They afflict the body. Like a lot of people say, I don't know why I'm sick all the time, and I can't understand it. Well, you need to talk to your pastor. I'm hoping that this pastor is really a true pastor. He can share with you and say, honey, let me pray with you. Let me talk to the Lord about it. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I hear my dog knocking on the door, trying to get in here. Talking about, let me in here. Let's see. Oh, they tempt with pride. Okay. That's the devil. That's how you can tell when you're being cooked in by the devil or taken in. Because they got a habit going, look at these, I got 4 degrees, I'm this, I'm that. What God want to hear you say, ma'am or sir, is I'm a man or woman of God. I am sold out to Him completely. I don't have that stinking pride in me. That's how the devil got kicked out of heaven. I'm not going to walk around here talking about I'm this and I'm a that and I'm shouting out all my titles. God care less about those titles. God want to know, are you a spirit-filled being? Are you sold out to him? Do you think spiritually? Do you talk spiritually? Do you interact spiritually? You don't care if you were a general, but if you don't have a personal relationship with him, you can bust hell wide open. You don't give a flip about what your rank is, that you're the principal of the school, or you're the president of that school, or you're the theologian of this ministry, of this seminary, and all this kind of stuff. You don't care nothing about that. He wants you to do what he wants you to do, and he'll guide you. But there's a lot of people in the position that they call themselves not God. And then there's others who went in there, and they were sold out by God. God gave them the job, that principal job, that physician job, that janitor job, whatever. God gave that person that job, manager, assistant, whatever. And then the joker got full of pride and treated his subordinate employees wrong. I'm God. Do what I say. Sister so and so on. Then there's other leaders managers, flirt with their female workers. I want something. I'm going to fire you, girl. You know, this kind of stuff. See? So God want us to live right. He tempt us with pride. And then you have how many, and I'm always saying this, how many degrees you got? What, do you have a doctor degree? And I go, no, I have two master's degrees. Well, I'm higher than you. And I go, how you figure that? Well, I'm a doctor. I'm hired. These people, I'm talking with doctors. Some, I'm not talking about just pastors. I'm talking about doctor degrees. You got doctor degrees, lawyers, and all kind of education, everything else. And they tell them, Brother John, I'm higher than you. I'm not talking about somebody who's in the church, as a pastor or anything. You got people in the world say that to me too. Well, I'm higher than you. And I go, how you figure that? Well, I have two doctor degrees. And all you got is two, three master's degrees. Well, why didn't you all work for your doctor? I said, tired of school. Okay? All right. A Senate attacks against Christians. Let me sum it up with you. They like to teach, they quote scriptures improperly. They teach their own doctrines. These demons transform themselves with angels of light. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness, anything they can do to pervert it. They afflict the body, will bring sicknesses and all kinds of diseases on you, hoping you get so mad because you prayed and you didn't get healed, and God is looking at you, God, and see, you're supposed to learn to wait on God. You pray, God ain't going to heal you the very next second. Sometimes God might be trying you out for a whole week or two, maybe a month. And then all of a sudden, you say, I don't need you. I prayed you, and you say you're the healer. I don't need you. Heck with this stuff. Heck with religion. And God just have tears coming out of his eyes, saying, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord saying that to himself, Lord, have mercy. I got to act. I answer her prayer in her time frame. Otherwise, she gonna cuss me out and gonna leave me, apart from her faith. So don't do that to God, okay? You can't tell God what to do, and when to do it. So, satanic attacks against Christians. They teach their own doctrine. I don't believe this. And I don't believe that. Demons encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. Like you got a lot of people who's supposed to be righteous men and women and men of God. And if you can see them at night, you see they're doing just the opposite. They tempt us with hypocrisy and lying. They lie like hell. I'm talking people who really don't believe in God. I'm talking about people. I ain't talking about, don't get me wrong. I'm talking all my life. I say they. I'm not talking about ministers. I'm talking about people who playing hanky panky with God. Okay, let's get that straight right now. The Holy Spirit say, bring that out, John. Sometimes you say the minister, the chaplain, or hey, when I'm speaking about a minister, I would say minister. But when I say they're doing this and they're doing that, I'm talking about everybody, y'all. Everybody. Every man, woman, and teenager. Okay? So you got your good ones and your bad ones in every profession. Let me get that clear. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing that to my mind. Now, they tempt us with pride, and they produce us with false miracles and signs and wonders. Now, I want to get into the big shots, and then I'll be through, almost, because I don't have a slightest idea what time it is. I made a mistake coming back in my study and left the clock in another room. You have what you call principalities. So what in the world is a principality? The principality principles come from Greek word. I don't need to talk about Greek. Principalities derive their power directly from Satan. They are the highest ranking demons in God in Satan's army. You know? Principalities, they derive their power directly, y'all, from Satan, and are the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. They're the big shot. They're like the general. Then you have the ones under the principalities. But back up to principalities, they over all the other demons. Every demon there is, they are over. They're the president of the United States, okay? They over everybody. So principalities is over every kind of wrong and crooked and lying and demons, okay? Then you got the one that comes under the principality called powers. Then next in chain of command, we find powers. And these are demonic spirits that derive their authority from principalities. Remember I said principalities are the high ones. They do. They affect and infect structures, systems, and the five pillars. I'm a pillow. Are you a pillow? You can say you're a pillow. Well, they mess up a whole lot of pillars. Someone called me, how could you do that to a pillar, Brother John? I said, well, you know, since messing with you and a couple others, I find out there's two types of pillars now. What do you mean? I said, well, there's a righteous pillar who have followed God's instructions, set up the church like God wanted to do, and make sure his congregation receiving the word, ministering to the sick and the shut-in, and to the poor, and visiting them in the jail and stuff like that, not trying to screw everybody in that church. And you go, oh. So I said, so that's the kind of pillar I'm not. I said, now if you ask me if I'm a pillar, I said, yeah, I'm a pillar. I'm one of the other ones, the one that love the Lord, want to serve the Lord with all their heart, want to hear the voice of Lord. And I can't hear his voice, and I can't make it to heaven if I ignore his instructions and his salvation for me. Okay? But you, sir, you may tell me, I don't like when you take pillars on. I said, there ain't no pillar. They play pillars. Because we already know what they're doing. We got videos on them. They're around there screwing people. So you got two types of pillars. You got the one that's righteous, and you got the one play. Then you got another one called the rulers of the darkness of this world. Say, what are they, Brother John? Rulers of the they are responsible for blinding y'all. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people to the truth, and for facilitating sin, wickedness, and iniquity of sin within the nations of this world. They cause all kind of crap. They are talking about the rules of darkness of this world. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people to the truth. Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not the only way, the truth, and light. And you got other, I'm not talking about Christian pastors. You got all these other pastors and all these other crazy denominations, you know, thinking they're so right and they're deceived by demons. They don't even know it. And you got someone calling themselves God. I am God. You know? And I remember one time I'm passing the theater. And I was a big sign, Jesus is here. He's here to visit us. And people just calling all in that place, trying to get in there. So one, he's supposed to be there a week. So one day I said, I called my buddy, I said, hey, let's go. I ain't going to see no man talking about he's Jesus. I said, I want to see what he's doing, what he's saying. He said, okay, let's go. And when he came out, all the people got up and fell down and just crying and screaming, Jesus, Jesus, and stuff like that. And his helpers, all these female helpers, they were just kissing his feet and kissing his hand and everything else. Look, he was real fair, you know, real fair. He wasn't dark skin. He was real fair, and he had hair straight. You know, I don't know if he straightened it or that's the kind of hair he had. But he was like 6'2", 6'3", and had on this robe with all his jewelry and everything. And them folks just bowing down to him, all his entourage, just hugging him and kissing him and stuff like that. And my buddy said, man, let's get out of here. I said, amen, brother. This ignorant. All right, I'm talking about these heavyweight demons. I said, you got principalities? They're over all the other demons. Then you got the ones called rulers of the darkness. They are under the principality, but they're the next higher rank. And they're responsible for blinding the minds of us, y'all, of the truth that Jesus, you know, trying to get us to believe that Jesus is just a white man, just a guy who's crazy kind of a thing. And then you got the next, and then the rulers of the darkness, they affect our thoughts. Remember I said, watch your thoughts. Everything you think about, not necessarily you. Okay? They affect the thoughts. They affect our feelings. They affect our perception, how we receive things. They affect our humanity. through mass media. In other words, they're involved with those people who are head of television, head of the radio, any kind of media. You have one of those rules of the darkness that's affecting the mind and the thoughts of these people who do all these TV programs, radio programs, movies and all that stuff, because they can get next to us, because some people believe what they see and some people believe what they hear. So that's what those rules of the keep you in the dark, rules of the darkness of the world. They affect our thoughts, our feeling. Remember I thought, remember I told you, said, hey, don't believe every thought. Just because you think that don't mean that's you. You know, oh, I know him. He nasty. I know her. He a hypocrite. I know she. You know, she trying to get in my pants. I know him. And this kind of, he a drug addict. And not necessarily, you know. So remember, please remember everything you think of. You challenge that thought and say, that's me? Or is that some old slick behind demon? Or is that the Holy Spirit talking to me? Okay? They affect your thoughts. They affect your feelings. They affect your perceptions. And a whole bunch of, then they affect our music too. Some people, you can go by the house, the car go by and hear all this crazy music, bang, 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 all that crap. They affect some movies. Everybody want to go see the dirty movies. Oh, they in charge of that. And then they affect our fashion. You see some people wearing these crazy clothes with a half nude. And they affect our philosophies. And then they affect our religious ideologies, okay? That's what rules of the dark. They want to keep you in the dark. They don't want you getting light, because you get in the light, then you can save. But as long as you believe that Jesus is a man, and he's not God, and there's only one God, and no Father, Son, no Son, and Holy Ghost, you know? And then after all, God know we're not God. He know we're humans. And goodness, ain't nothing wrong with having a little sex every now and then. Otherwise, he wouldn't give us a vagina. He wouldn't give us a penis. Please, God, the Bible says, if you can't hang in there, get married. But be sure you love the woman or the man. Then the other kind of heavyweight demon called spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says this. But also the mind, which is a type of heavenly place. It influences, they seduces, and they falsely inspires different actions and perceptions. And they give us fantasies. You sit in the business fantasizing all day long. Well, that's what that spirit wickedness in high places do. Give you all the kind of crazy, nasty fantasies and imagination and appetites. Before you know it, you're involved in it. Let me say that again. Spiritual wickedness in high places. They influence fantasies. They influence your imaginations and your appetites of what you like and what you don't like. And they do overt and covert attacks on you and influence your mind. And a bunch of other crap. These spirits operate in the second heaven. The second heaven is where where Mars and Jupiter and all that. First heaven is right above us. The second heaven is in where these rockets and all go. And then you know the third heaven is where the Lord resides. These spirits operate in the second heavens, like Mars and Jupiter and in that area. They frustrate and prohibit the manifestation and answers to believers' prayers. And they're the ones who try to keep our prayers from reaching God. You know, sometimes when I'm praying, I say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray, but let me just say this one quick. And I say, you demons, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and especially you, Satan, you will not hinder my prayers from reaching my Lord, who's in the third heavens. You hear me? I bind any efforts that you try to do to keep my prayer from reaching my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or when I'm praying for somebody, I say, you will not hinder this prayer. If I'm sending somebody a devotional, that's called ball bouncy. That's the demon that inhabits the atmosphere. And I says, in the name of Jesus, you will not hinder my prayer for reaching my Heavenly Father, because you ain't bigger than my Father. But when I'm praying for somebody else, I say, you will not hinder my prayer for reaching heaven concerning my sister, my brother, whatever you're doing. Okay. So, like I said, you have these big shots. One is called the principalities. They're the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. They're the number one man. They're the general under Satan. Then you, in addition to principalities, you have powers. They delegate authority to other demons, okay? They like the commander. Then you got the rulers of the darkness. And I'm going to say, these are responsible for binding the mind. They don't want to keep you in the dark. They don't want you to have any intelligence. They don't want you to be aware what's happening. They don't want you to know about Jesus. They don't want you to know when you're being tempted. They don't want you to realize when they're talking to you, kind of thing. They are responsible, talking about the rulers of the darkness of this world, they are responsible for blinding the minds of people, the truth, and for facilitating sin and wickedness and iniquity, sin, within the nations of this world. And another thing, they, talking about the rules of the darkness, are also responsible for keeping people in a state of darkness. Because if they get out of that, they get saved. They affect, and then I'll tell you one last thing about the rules of darkness. They affect your thoughts. They affect your feelings. I don't feel right. I don't know. I'm supposed to go on feeling. You know that. They affect our thoughts. Remember I told you, every time you think of something, it ain't you. It ain't you. It ain't you. It ain't you. They affect our thoughts. They affect our feelings. Child, I don't feel right about that. You know, send me a feeling. Believe in Jesus if you feel. You know, so I'm talking about the rules of the dark. They don't want to keep you in the dark so you can make all kind of bad recommendations and bad decisions. Make bad decisions. They rule, they try to mess with our thoughts, our feelings. I don't feel right about this, child. And they affect our perceptions about things. Well, I perceive that he's not right or she's not right. I perceive this and that. I'm Dr. So-and-so. And they affect our minds. They affect our spirits, philosophies, and religions, okay? And also, you have spiritual wickedness in high places. And they affect our minds. And they like to operate in the second heaven, frustrate our prayers and stuff from going to be with the Lord. And dig this. You also got demons called devils and demons. Some of them are called devils and demons. Say, where do they, Brother John? Well, demons, meaning a distributor of fortune. A demon or devil is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature of Satan and has the ability to give and distribute fortune, mammon. They can possess
five
man.
Minutes,
can
so five
much.
Minutes.
Thank you so much. I was wondering. Okay, got 5 more minutes. Thank you so much. Thank you. And you got spirits of the underworld, and there's spirits of death to deal with death, hell, and the grave. Then you have the last one that I really want to talk about, since I got 5 minutes. I can conclude in 5 minutes. You got familiar spirits. And familiar spirits are one that knows everything about you. They follow you everywhere you go. Familiar spirits know your hot spots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses and your strengths. They know your likes and your dislikes. They know your passions. They know your pet peeves, what gets you going, what's upset you, and what distracts you. And they know your desires, your ambitions, and everything. And that's because each one of us have a familiar spirit following us around to find out what we like and what we don't like. And then they take it back to Satan. And Satan would say, you smoking dope behind everybody's back like you ain't smoking no more. That familiar spirit know what you're doing. So those Holy Spirit go back and, not the Holy Spirit, but that deal, the demonic spirit would go back and tell Satan, and Satan would sign the demon that specialized with dope and all that other kind of stuff to keep that person tempted so they can't get out of it and die overdose. So that familiar spirit knows everything about you. Let me say that again. The familiar spirit knows your hotspots. They know which buttons to push. They know your weakness and strength, likes and dislikes, passions and pet peeves. And then the last one I'm going to talk about. The last three. One is called spirit infirmity. The other one is called seducing spirit. And the other one is called unclean spirits. Probably down to 2 minutes, so let me say this. You got spirit infirmity. That'll tell you right there what they do. They bring all the sickness up on you. And then you got seducing spirits. They seduce you spiritually, make you don't believe in it, and have you think about sex and everything else, an unclean spirit. All right. God bless you, and enjoy my session with you, and hope I get back with you soon, because there's a whole lot of stuff that I can share about demons, how they gain control and how they gain access to you and these kinds of things. God bless you, and have a good evening. It was a pleasure. In Jesus' name.
All right. I want to thank Dr. Leroy Montgomery, Leroy Hilton, Dr. Beasley, Dr. A.B. Thornton, Dr. Monroe, Pilgrimton, McDonald, Douglas, Wilmore, Hinton, Lawrence Jackson and Hunting. Mother Louise Brown from the motherboards of St. Baptist Church in Stillman, Alabama. We want to say God bless you. Leroy Thompson at Leroy Thompson's Ministry in PB, Alabama. All right. Montgomery, Alabama in the line. Atlanta, Georgia. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Ohio. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, New York, Chicago. Okay. Chaplain Durden One did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. I thank you for your time and service. You've been a friend to me for 14 years. It's an honor to know you. It's a blessing to work with you. Never believed that you'd be in the ministry helping and working. And I tell you, he dedicates his time and helped me out a lot. And he's a good brother. And brother,
thank you. I accept that. Yes, sir.
The Lord told me you're going to live to be 96.
Oh, okay. Amen. I received that.
96, 97, 98. He said 90, he makes 97. 97 years of age. Yeah, uh-huh. That's it. Yeah. 97, mm-hmm. That's right. That's correct.
I got 10 years. 10 more years. 10 more
Go
years.
Go and see the Lord. You'll be seeing the Lord after that.
And then go see grandma, my mama, my daddy.
Daddy
died when I was 2. He died when I was 2.
Wow.
He drowned. You know, we grew up in New York. He drowned on the 4th of July.
Yeah. So you went without a father. But I tell you, you're a wonderful father of 3 children, and it's been a blessing knowing you. And thank you for helping this radio ministry and the Lord out, and just thank you for your participation. Dr. Walker said he loved it.
Thank you so much. I was kind of wondering. I was hoping I didn't speed too fast this time. I slowed down as much as I could.
They said they loved it, and they love you, and keep up the good work. Dr. Montgomery said, keep hitting them. Don't let them get you upset. Don't let them get you upset. They're talking about ball, Jack. Fight back. Keep fighting back. Don't back down off of them, Durden.
Amen. I receive that. I receive it.
All right. Okay, everybody. God bless, and that's it for tonight.
The mountains, the land and sea. Oh Lord, you are.